bags are packed, are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Welcome to the Wife Savers Podcast, where multi-award-winning author and global marriage educator Ramona Zabriskie provides answers to your real wife questions. Our goal is to help you appreciate your womanhood, prioritize your personal development, and craft a powerful partnership with the man in your life. Hi, I'm Hannah Allen, and I'm proud to introduce my parents, Ramona and Dale Zabriskie. And yes, this is how they talk all the time. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Dale Zabriskie, sitting here in between Christmas and New Year's with Ramona Zabriskie.
Ta-da!
Christmas and New Year's with Ramona Zabriskie. That's going to be showing on PBS here soon.
It's been a really interesting Christmas
it
for
has
us,
for
hasn't
us.
It?
Yeah, it's been different than anything in the past.
Right. In the past, we had little people in little feet and pajamas and being woken up way too early. And actually, we were woken up early, weren't we?
We actually were, but...
But long distance.
Yeah, by different...
they were on the
still
phone.
Still the kids.
We were thinking, yeah. Hey, for the first time, we can really
That's
sleep
right.
in. And
no.
Nope. Those grandkids were calling us.
They Who were 3 hours us. Earlier than we are, which made it worse. You know.
We didn't figure that into the equation when we stayed up super late the night before. We're like, it's Christmas Eve, and we're staying up still till 1 a.m. like we used to, stuffing stockings. And so,
what did we do? We didn't have stockings.
We were watching TV, I think. It wasn't the best judgment, but we were just so giddy with this sense of freedom.
Yeah.
Like, it's a holiday, and we don't have any children, but then in the next moment, I'm crying.
Yeah, I was going to say, that didn't last very long.
I don't have my babies.
Because you don't have any children. Yay, we don't have any children. Ah, we don't have any children.
But we got through it. And now we have another whole week to sort of, I don't know, let it all sink in.
Yeah.
What are the holidays about? Really?
Well, you know, we've got Christmas and Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Diwali.
Diwali?
We've got all sorts of celebrations that happen in the wintertime.
Yes.
Right? And
what do they all have at their heart or at their core, would you say?
I think at the heart of it all, it's love. For
yes.
others, for
yes,
life, for
yes.
things around us,
yes.
appreciation.
And for many, it's love for God.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. Love. I love that you pointed that out. Right. And all the ideals that go with love, don't you think? Like peace
and New
hope
Year type thing about
new beginnings.
Hope and beginnings.
New beginnings.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Oh, I love that. That's what we're going to start with today. It's a great place to start at the end of the year. New beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, good.
And new beginnings, I think, requires looking at things in a new way.
Different way.
That's
yes.
what we try to do here at the Wife Savers Podcast, is look at things in a new way. And I don't even have a letter for us this week. You know how
yeah,
we read our...
You don't.
We base our whole podcast on the questions that we receive from our listeners via letter. And I got a lot that I could choose from, and I have a whole bunch of lined up for the new year that I'm super excited about. But at the end of the year, there were so many that had at their heart the same question.
Really?
Yeah. That I thought we'd just sort of address the issue in a more general way. So what... I can tell you that every single one of these letters started with something like, my husband won't.
Yeah, that's probably pretty typical.
Or my husband always.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or my husband never.
Never. Right. Never say never.
That.
Never say always.
That phrase is in okay. every one of those letters. And of course... You know, I get those same kind of questions from my students at Wife for Life University or in the Wife Savers Membership Program all the time. And so I think that's a good place to wrap up the year. Can you even guess where we're heading here?
Well, yeah, I never thought that I would always be in a position to. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. This wasn't a letter writer. This was just a friend. This wasn't even a student. I was sitting in a cafe having lunch with a friend who asked me to go to lunch. She wasn't a really close friend, but a good acquaintance through church, you know. And so we went to lunch and I sat there for, I don't know, it was probably a couple of hours listening to her spew. I picked that word purposely. Spew fury and venom about her husband to me. Mm. Now listen, I listen to women all the time. Listening to their frustrations with their husbands is a big part of my job. So it wasn't her complaints that were really bowling me over. What really shocked me, honey, it still disturbs me.
Really?
Honestly, yeah. When I look back on that day and on that lunch.
Vehement. Uh-huh.
Well, it was the resolute hardness in her face, in her voice, that self-absorption, a steely kind of self-absorption that had absolutely no interest in considering any other point of view.
Yeah, she'd made up her mind that things were a certain way,
yes,
or he was a certain way,
yes,
and it was never going to change.
Yes, yeah, yes. And it was all embedded in a mistake.
One thing.
Literally one mistake.
Okay.
And it had happened years ago. I mean, years and years and years ago. Now, of course, since she's a friend slash acquaintance to some degree, I know who her husband is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always know the husbands of the women that come to me, obviously. But in this case, I did. And honey, you know him too. He's a really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really trying hard for that family. And I believe by all the external evidences of it, that he really had repented, if you will, of that mistake many, many years ago. And actually, I know that he was fighting for that marriage. So what I do, my work, my everyday work, is centered on helping women discover and develop their power to affect their own happiness. And it blows my mind how much we accomplish when I see these thrilling results. But also blows my mind when I see that there really are people, there really are women that refuse to see happiness.
Refuse to see happiness.
They refuse
because,
to seek happiness.
Oh, to seek happiness because they're so focused on.
Yeah. Why is that? Why do you think that
yeah,
would be?
Yeah, well, first thought is that they're focused on the negative aspect and what we're talking about here, the fact that it's never going to change, the fatality of it all. Right?
Yes. I call it stay sad and mad.
Yeah.
They choose to stay sad and mad. And we don't have time really to go into the psychology behind all that. And of course, we don't always know all the reasons for their hurt and their pain.
And, yeah, there's always
and
lots
so forth.
Behind
but
it.
What I'm focusing on here is their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Their choice to stay sad or mad. And vindication rather than responsibility, their own responsibility for their own happiness, if you will, becomes the last breath. You know, it's their only hope for survival. And it just settles in deeper and deeper over the years. And if anyone like me on that day tried to help in some way, try to help them see that there may be a way out of this, there could be peace. You know, anyone, and believe me, she had lots of friends and family that were advocating for that marriage, that were advocating for a way to restore things and resolve things. But she saw all of us as perpetuators of her own misery.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you think that in this example or others that someone like in this example, this woman holds on to this thing,
right,
this event,
right,
to make things happen the way they want to happen, to have some outcome.
That's interesting.
Does that make sense? Right?
Yeah.
We're going to drive this thing to a conclusion the way I want to. And the reason way we're going to do that
if you become that focused, though, what happens to all the people in your life, like her family that we're trying to help and stuff? They become one dimensional. They're either helpers or they're hindrances.
Yeah, they're binary.
And you're so focused on what you're saying, driving the outcome. Well, I'm not even sure she knew what the outcome was.
Yeah.
You know what? I think she did know what the outcome was. She didn't want to be married anymore.
Yeah, so it's what she wanted to achieve, and this was the method to do that.
It could be.
Yeah.
But the problem, there's so many problems, obviously, with that mindset, but one of them is that it's exhausting.
Yeah, it takes a lot of energy, doesn't it?
Yes, just to stay camped in your own agenda, to be the sole guardian, you know, of your citadel, if you will. And a citadel is a good way to think of it. Or I think of like, you know, a castle tower, and you're all alone up there. And you know how narrow the little windows are?
So the arrows can't get through.
You can't really see out. You can't see. Well, obviously, it's devastating physically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just exhausting emotionally, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, physically. And even so, with all of those negatives against it, we all do it.
It's kind of a...
we all do it.
Yeah, it's what we default to often.
I'm sure I was that victim yesterday.
Yesterday. For a few minutes anyway.
On Christmas Day, I'm sure at some point or another, I was feeling victimized.
Well, you could have taken the whole fact that the kids weren't around.
I cried.
Yeah,
I did.
It was very difficult.
It's the poor me thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we all feel poor me at one time or another, if we all feel put upon or victimized, you're part of the human race.
Yeah, yeah. Get in line. Take a number. but especially in marriage, right? The impact just seems to
be unavoidable.
Yeah, it's unavoidable, and it seems to be magnified.
Oh,
because you know there's a microscope on it in a way.
Well, and just in the sheer number of times you're put upon marriage,
yeah, right.
Just by virtue of exposure.
Yes, just proximity alone.
By proximity.
That's right.
Alone. You know what it makes me think of? A bumper car ride. I hate those things.
Those are awesome.
Do you like them?
Yeah, you bet.
Have we ever done one together?
I can't remember. We have. I mean, you give license to run into people. It's the best, right? That's the whole point. Here, go crash this thing. Every guy is just like, yeah.
That's the difference. That's why you like it.
That's right.
And I don't, because I can't get aggressive like that. And so I just end up being bumped.
That's right.
And bumped.
You need a bumpy as opposed to a bump or.
I can't take...
Right.
I can't be proactive about going for somebody. So that's funny. That's really interesting. But that's how I think of it, is there's no way. You can't get out of there unscathed. It's like the white hat and the pie fight, right?
Yeah. That's it. You're going to get hit sooner or later.
Sooner or later. And so we can't expect to never be victims.
Right.
In fact, it probably is going to happen every day. And as you point out, most often in marriage. So if we want to get some peace in our life, we want to reclaim the power to be happy and so forth, then we have to thoughtfully, proactively replace, maybe gradually, replace the advantages of being the one put upon.
The advantages?
Yes. What are some of the advantages of being the one who gets bumped?
Oh, wow. I think everybody thinks of it as a negative thing. Well, how could there be advantages?
We wouldn't hold on to it for dear life if there weren't advantages.
Yeah, that's true.
What about this? Attention.
Oh, sure.
I get lots of attention.
Yeah, I'm the center here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What about no risk? No liability?
Because it's somebody else's fault.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's really some advantages here.
No fault car insurance. So this bumper car thing.
But if we're gonna change this way of thinking or recognize it in ourselves so that we can change it, we've got to see that there are actually greater advantages to being powerful rather than put upon.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, being the one who does the bumpy.
Yeah, the bumpy and the bump or. But wouldn't you say that a lot of people or some people use that as power, use the whole idea of being put upon.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. That's another advantage.
Yeah.
That's another
control,
advantage.
Power.
Holding it over someone like this, my friend that I'm talking about, she was definitely using that as a power play.
Yeah.
Over her husband, scaring him to death with threats of divorce and leaving him and everything, so forth. But what are some of the greater advantages that would be even more rewarding?
As opposed to, being put upon.
Yes.
Feeling like you're put
upon. Right. You're going to be powerful instead of put upon. What about peace?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing we started with, this idea of this time of year, you know, searching for peace.
Progress.
Yeah. Moving on.
Love.
Right. Getting beyond things. Sure.
Once you experience those things, you're like, no, I don't want to be put upon. I like feeling... Yeah. In control, much more in control in a powerful, positive sort of way. All right. But this idea of changing from, you know, the person who is put upon to the person who is powerful, no one can do that for you but you.
Right.
Right? So how do we get rid of the sad and mad? A few steps here.
Okay.
Number one, we're going to admit that how we see and respond to our loved ones is our choice.
That's got to be, that is a big one. You made me feel this way. You did this. So yes. Taking that responsibility is the first step.
Right. Second step, set aside our black and white way of thinking about people, especially our loved ones.
The binary, on or off, good or bad,
all good or all bad. Yeah. Third is learning more about human drives and relationships and behaviors, so that we can replace judgment with understanding.
And that's,
if we don't understand where someone's coming from, especially our husband or wife.
No, and that's the thing that I probably have appreciated. One of the things that I've appreciated most about our relationship is that that's always been important to you. That's just part of who you are, right? And it's been helpful to us because of that choice of this is the default that I want to go to. Right.
What do you mean?
Judging hopefully.
It's my default to judge hopefully.
It really is.
I want to judge hopefully.
Right. And as you said, nobody's perfect. And, you know, yesterday, we'll talk about those other things from yesterday. But it just allows you then, and this is the example I think that you've had in your life, but works for everybody. It by choosing that as a default, it allows you to progress and grow and develop upon those things rather than this default of being.
Right.
It's because, everybody else's fault.
In the end, the relationship and you as an individual cannot mature.
Right.
You can't grow past it until you let people be. Well, like my friend I'm talking about, I felt after that conversation at lunch that she had reduced me to a paper doll, that I was one-dimensional. That I was static. I wasn't a full human being.
Yeah.
I was not helping her. I was a hindrance to her. Therefore, check off her list. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
She wasn't interested in me by any stretch of the imagination, only in maintaining her stance of victimization.
And it's easy for us as humans to define either someone or ourselves based on an event.
Yes.
Or a mode that I'm in, right?
Yes, which is going to lead to our next step.
Okay.
That's really good. Well, actually, our next last step, which is to be open to a new paradigm and to practicing a better, healthier way of interacting with our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And fifth, which is really where I was going from what you just said, we got to study. We have to explore, we have to come to terms with forgiveness.
Yeah, I think that's that the heart, you talk about peace. Mm-hmm. How do you get peace? We all have to get to this point of forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the end and in the beginning, that is really what we're talking about today. I want to focus on. I mean, we have these great steps, you know, admitting that how we perceive and respond to our loved ones is a choice, setting aside our black and white way of thinking of them, learning more about human drives and relationships so we can understand instead of judge, being open to a new paradigm and a new way of practicing these interpersonal relationships, and then studying out and really coming to comprehend what forgiveness means and what it's all about. And so, honestly, I have to put a pitch in here. This is what we do at Wife Savers Membership. The education that you can get through my Wife Savers program will, that's what it will do for you. Step those first, second, third, fourth, fifth steps. So saying that it's sometimes it's that journey heart. Is really yeah. hard to do on your own.
Yeah.
So I wish we had time to go through all that, but it would take us months. But let's start or let's focus today on forgiveness. And obviously that's incredibly important if we're going to have a long marriage and a mature one, wouldn't you agree? How yeah. It wouldn't be possible.
No, it is, because it's when we think about forgiveness, I think if you throw that out there, I'm sure the minds are going to some huge thing that has happened.
Yeah, big.
Right?
Oh, good,
the big
good.
Elephant in the room that is always there, that is really hard to get over. It may have happened years ago.
We kind of touched on that in our last podcast.
Yeah.
The big issue.
The big issue, right. And how to talk about it.
Right.
But really, and to kind of build upon what we were just talking about of progression mm-hmm. and, you know, my point that this has been kind of your default and how we're going to move forward. It's only going to happen when you realize that you have to forgive every day. You know, it's
yes.
there is all these little things that you
right.
get over and deal with, which allows you to progress, but also makes dealing with the larger things a lot easier.
Because you right? become pretty practiced.
Yeah.
Well, let's say let me put it this way. Forgiveness is not an event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
In marriage. Now, it could very well be an event when you're talking about
yeah, some big thing.
Big event or a big episode in a person's mm-hmm. life mm-hmm. or, you know, abuse. Okay.
Right.
We're not going to be able, let's be really clear here. We are not able in the context of this short little podcast to talk about betrayal trauma.
Yeah. Abuse.
Abuse and right. that kind of thing.
Right.
Those are very deep wounds that do require spiritual and professional intervention. There's just no question. Not that someone in that situation can't get something from what we're talking about here. I'm sure they can.
Yeah.
But we are not going to focus on that so much as the way how you put it. I love that. Everyday forgiveness. And when you say everyday forgiveness, you know what I think of? Not just that it's an everyday attitude, it's a culture, it's a way of thinking and operating and interrelating and so forth, but that it's for everyday kind of things.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think you could take it too far in one direction, that assuming that I have to forgive constantly becomes
well, you kind
a
of
mode.
Do.
Yeah, but then it kind of colors everything potentially.
Oh,
you know
I see
what
you're saying.
It become you can almost be, well, I'm forgiving.
Uh-huh.
I'm very forgiving.
Okay, then taking a superior.
Yeah.
Right. Well, now we're getting into the inequality of a relationship
yeah.
that disrespect
yeah.
is introduced.
And I think that we're just, first of all, aware that this is what needs to happen. It's just going to be an everyday thing.
Well, as much as I need you to forgive me for the everyday things every day, I mean, as much as I need to forgive you, you need to forgive me.
Right.
That's what I was
right,
trying
right.
to say, is that you can never, if you can never, one of the great motivators for me personally in trying to be let it go, you know, and forgive is that I need it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to be yeah. on my high horse all the time, and then when it comes to moments that I need to be forgiven, I have no There's nothing in the love bank.
And it really kind of connotes humility in all that we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Because if you approach it by saying, being haughty about forgiveness, then, you know, you're off base. So it is.
So let's start right now, making let's be really clear that, that is where we're coming from when we talk about forgiveness in marriage, a very humble point of view, but not a doormat point of view.
Right. Exactly.
You know, because here's the deal. What is forgiveness, or no, let's take it from this way. What is it not? I think that one of the reasons we struggle, forgiveness is huge. I don't want to make light of this and say it's an everyday thing. It is like the last frontier, you know, Star Trek. What is the line in Star Trek? You know, the place where no man has gone before.
Right.
It kind of feels that way because no one can really tell you how it is, how to do it. It's almost like you're a pioneer, every single person who goes into that territory. And I also, in my book, I use the analogy of a mountain. It's like an extreme sport. It's like mountain climbing. And to get to the point where you finally feel like you have forgiven or that you are forgiven is something like climbing a summit.
And it's very personal. It's a very personal
journey, very individual. It's very different for everyone. That's why you have a hard time Googling it.
Yeah,
that's why you have
How do I forgive?
You can hear a lot of different stories of how people have their story, but your story, your journey, you're up that mountain to the summit is going to be very different from everyone else's. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So that being said, we will go right now, just a minute, and in a minute, we'll go through some of the stages that are pretty predictable, but the timetable is not in cement.
Yeah, no. Like I said, it's all just like climbing the mountain. You're on your own. It's you and the mountain.
Yes. Yes. All right. So forgiveness is not. What is it not? First of all, it is not the same as condoning.
So, just accepting that behavior.
Yeah. A lot of women I talked to were like, I can't do that. I can't forgive my husband because it's just what he did was just wrong. And if I forgive him, it means that I think it's okay what he did.
Right. It's giving license to that thing.
Right.
Forgiveness in their mind is giving license.
They've got the wrong idea about forgiveness. It's not the same as condoning. If anyone's taking notes, I hope you just wrote that down. Forgiveness is not condoning. What else is it not? It is not excusing.
So condoning and excusing.
Yes. Excusing is not holding the offender as responsible.
Yeah.
They are responsible. There's no question. They made a choice. It wasn't a very good choice. They're responsible for their choices. Mm-hmm. But for you forgiving is not the same as excusing. That's another reason women struggle with
forgiving their husband.
Right. Here's another one. It's not the same as forgetting.
That is so true. It doesn't erase it.
Right.
Right.
Right. You can't remove your awareness, basically, of that offense.
No.
It's always going to be there.
It's always going to be there. It's how you manage and deal with it.
Right. All right. So it's not the same as forgetting. And it's not the same as pardoning. And you know what? I think that is what you were just talking about from that superior point of view. I pardon you.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that a judge does.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you grant this.
I grant you, I acknowledge your offense and grant you freedom from repercussions.
Right,
and
erases it off the books.
Yeah. So I think that really explains what you were just trying to say. You're not pardoning.
Right.
So those are things that forgiveness is not. And I am grateful to the American Psychological Association for that list.
Let's hear it for them.
I love that. Forgiveness is different from condoning, from excusing, from forgetting, or from pardoning.
Okay. There you go.
All right. So now that we know what it's not.
What is it? Yeah, and how do you forgive?
Well, I thought a lot about this. And how do you do it? And like we just said, it's hard to find a nice little step-by-step guide on the road to forgiveness. It's that mountain climbing, and mountains change all the time, do they not?
Yeah, certainly.
The weather changes, the climate changes,
right.
And so
you
any
have to adapt to
plan has to be adapted.
Yeah,
perfect.
Right.
Perfect. All right. But in all the things that I've studied through the years, you know what? One that helped me maybe more than any others clarify this in my mind is a TEDx talk by a lovely young woman named Sarah Montana.
Love that name.
Isn't that fun? Sarah Montana. And her talk was called The Real Risk of Forgiveness and Why It's Worth It.
The risk of forgiveness. That's really interesting. The real risk. Because
we were just talking about mountain climbing.
Well, when we talked about it at the beginning,
it is risky.
You're putting yourself out there. It's very difficult.
And you don't know what life's going to look like on the other side of it. As long as you're camped in that, in your point of view, and you're seeing things that be the sole guardian of the citadel, things are predictable. You basically know exactly how things
are
going to play out.
Which is another reason why it's the default mode for a lot of people.
Right.
Because I don't want to deal with the unknown.
In the phenomena of forgiveness, you really don't know.
Yeah.
Not only how the other person is going to react, you don't know who the person is that you're going to be on the other side.
Well, that's a really good point. There's so much vulnerability associated with this.
Yes. Well, one of the points that she makes that I just love is how she wasn't talking about forgiveness in the strictly marriage sense, which is what you and I are trying to do here today, but more in the very general sense. She had suffered an atrocity. You can listen to the talk to hear about it. It's too awful for me to recount here, but she had suffered a real atrocity in her life. And so she spent years and years Googling and everything else, trying to figure out. Someone tell me how. She went through the Bible, and she can tell you the exact number of verses where forgiveness is talked about in the Bible. But did she find step-by-step how?
No,
it's not there. She couldn't find it anywhere. And finally, she realized that you won't find how, because it's not about how.
No.
It's about why. It's about why.
Yeah. Once you understand that, then you're free to go, right?
And do it your way.
That's so true.
So here's some of the wrong whys for forgiving.
That she learned, huh?
that she learned. And what's so fascinating, why would they be wrong? Because they don't stick.
Okay.
We're looking for a permanent solution. Mm-hmm. We're looking for peace that lasts. And if you think you've forgiven, but your motivation is one of these whys, it probably won't last. You'll be back to your same agitated, put upon self.
Might provide a little temporary relief.
Maybe.
Or what? But
yeah. Like, don't you tell me, you've probably experienced all of this. I bet everyone listening has. I know I have. The idea, here's first wrong why. Forgiveness, just forgive right away. Forgive because it'll make you a good person. That shows you're a good person.
It's the higher road.
Right.
I'm going to take the high road in this situation.
Right. And that might work for a little while.
Right.
But deep down, it really hasn't changed.
Or maybe it's a motivator to get started.
Perhaps, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
But it's only a beginning step. Yeah, okay.
Right. Okay. Here's another wrong why. She talked about pressure from others.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whether it's...
You've got to forgive him. You've got to forgive her.
Even in our culture, forgiveness is a popular topic.
Sure.
And certainly you're going to get that from church. You're going to hear, you need to forgive. And that's true. And that's right. But if that's the only reason you're doing it, because others are telling you you should, it's not going to stick. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And number three, and I think this might be the most shaky reason for all, is because it's a shortcut to healing. Like, I'm just going to skip over. I'm going to bypass all the pain, the hurt, all the messy stuff, the vulnerability.
Right. Like, not going to face it. I'm just going to, in my heart, I forgive this person. Oh, I feel so much better.
Right.
Move on.
Right. Yeah. Right. So those are all part of the process, I think, but they're not, they can't be the sole reason in and of themselves. Again, it won't create the lasting transformation of the heart that we're really looking for. Because what do we want to do? We want to progress, like you said.
We want to move on.
We want to mature. Right, right. We want the relationship to mature. We don't want that pain in our life. Ha ha ha, we're getting close when I say that. What is the real why? What is the only why that will stick?
Well, I think I look for my life, and there are things, you know, that you and I have been through, and, you know, personal things have gone through. And the one thing that sticks in my mind is that it's gone. It's in the past.
Okay.
It's over.
Which makes you feel how?
It makes me feel free.
Free. There you go.
Right. I mean, I don't have to. I'm not dragged down by extremely liberating. You know, there were times I'd wake up every morning and just be obsessed with things, something. And finally, going through that process freed me from that. And you and I went through that. I mean, very, very specifically.
Through some big events, but the everyday.
The everyday thing. Like I said, we get to that point, but it becomes, it's just so freeing. It's just light, you know, lighting.
And
it's
once
light.
You really, you have to kind of take other people's
word for it. Yeah, initially.
You know, I've been to the top of Mount Forgiveness, and I can tell you it's gorgeous.
Right.
It's freeing.
Yeah. Can I get an amen?
In my face. And that's you hear other people talk like that. In fact, at the end of her TEDx talk, Sarah Montana said, "It is what everyone says. It's 5 stars. It's 100,000,000%. She could not express enough how glorious, and that was the name of her talk, The Real Risk of Forgiveness and Why It's Worth It. But you kind of have to believe other people's testimonials to start making that trudge up the mountain.
That's part of our relationships, right, in general. We listen to others. People are listening to us.
That's true.
It's a motivator to get started for whatever reason, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't really have that efficacy in your life unless it's you go through it.
Unless you go through it and you do it for the right reasons,
right.
Which is, I want to be free of this.
Right.
So here is what she said that, you know how I love saying, this is what to think. This is what to say, you know, and women really, really appreciate that. That, especially in our treatment when we talked about his criticism hurts. And I gave our listeners some exact phraseology.
Right.
So here, if you can say this, according to Sarah Montana, and she nailed it. This is so right on. If you can say this, then you are at the place of forgiveness. Ready? I know what you did. It's not okay. But I recognize that you are more than that. I don't want to hold us captive to this thing anymore. I can heal myself, and I don't need anything from you in that process of healing.
Yeah, wow. There's so many things in here.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
You read it. Read it.
Yeah.
Let's hear you say it.
Okay.
Everyone wants to hear it more than once.
I know what you did. It's not okay, but I recognize that you are more than that. I don't want to hold us captive to this thing anymore. I can heal myself, and I don't need anything from you.
I'm just letting that sink in.
Yeah, I mean, it's so rich. There are so many components to that.
When you say that, doesn't it feel good just reading it?
Yeah, it's true.
It feels really good just reading it. And I'm not even thinking of anything specific. I need to forgive you or anyone else now. But it almost makes me want to cry just reading it. It feels so deep, core good.
Yeah.
So I hope that everyone listening wrote that down and just try saying it to yourself.
Well, it goes back to the idea of freedom.
Yes.
Right? There's so much freedom there.
Yes.
By going through each step. And as I said before, it doesn't, the definition, right? You are more than that. I recognize
right.
that you are more than that. That's huge, where we let these events define people for, we define
right.
others or we like, define ourselves.
Like my conversation with my friend.
Yeah.
That was exactly what had happened, that the event or the mistake, she was from that point on, from that day on, for years, looking for every other mistake he ever
yeah.
made
right.
in order to vindicate
or justify.
Just
waiting for the mix-up,
yes,
the step-up.
She's just
screw up.
Waiting for it. She's
yeah.
looking for it. And so all of those start compounding on the original yeah. source mistake until everything has turned
yeah.
gray.
Yeah, the justification. See, I told you. See, there it is.
Yes.
There it is.
That's exhausting.
It
That's
is.
Exhausting. So see what we just said? It feels like energy just surges
mm-hmm.
again back into your body and your heart and your mind. I'm standing on the top of that mountain. When I say, I'm going to do it again. I know what you did. It's not okay. But I recognize that you are more than that. I don't want to hold us captive to this thing anymore. I can heal myself. And I don't need anything from you.
You know, there's individual and relationships in there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need you
to heal me,
right? And I don't want to hold us captive.
Yes.
Anymore.
Yes. Well, thankfully, forgiveness is not an emotion.
Yeah, that's very true. Boy, it would be tough, wouldn't
it? It's not. It's a virtue, but it's not emotion.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
actually a choice.
Yeah.
It's something you choose to do. Now, Dr. Joe Beam was another one of those experts that had an impact on me. And he actually outlined some phases of the forgiveness process that I think are worthy to touch on a little here. And the first one is to assign your loved one value again.
Yeah, yeah, it's more than you. Yeah,
when I'm really mad at you, when I feel really put upon, you really did do something that has hurt or damaged me somehow, you, in my mind, become a monster.
Mm.
A monster. And that you're out to get me. Right?
Yeah.
That's how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I have to stop and say, wait a minute. He's not that static paper doll. He's not one dimensional. He's not a monster. We're going back to, I recognize that you are more than that. And this is where a lot of the women that I work with do get hung up, because they want that monster of their husband to de-monster himself mm-hmm. by saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
men don't say, I'm sorry, women can't move on. So if you're a man listening, husband, I'm going to tell you there are hardly any more powerful words that you could you could choose to use in your marriage than I'm sorry. That being said, to the wives who are listening, do not expect him to say, I'm sorry for everything. And maybe very rarely, because men are not linguistic. It's if you force him to say, I'm sorry, then what are you doing? This is not a process in forgiveness.
Yeah, so if the flowers come and he doesn't say, I'm sorry.
Take the flowers and run.
That's right. Take it. Cut your losses. Move on.
And honey, it may not be flowers. It may be new tires
yeah,
for the car.
That's right. And that's the thing,
it
too.
It may be... Hey, would you like me to babysit tomorrow yeah. night for you while you go out with the girls?
And I've seen that in our relationship where I've apologized by doing something.
And I finally learned to recognize
yeah.
that, and it's made the world of difference. So that's really important to recognize and accept what
yeah.
your loved one's way of apologizing. That falls under assigning your loved one value again. That he's not a monster. Look for the ways that he really is contrite. And then the next phase is to decide not to take vengeance on him.
Yeah. Reciprocity is not the mode here.
Put away the ice pick and the screws, you know, on that mountain. So, because what's the opposite of forgiveness?
Non-forgiveness.
Yes, yeah. Whatever. Unforgiveness.
Not forgiving.
And that is not a passive state.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not just standing still saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to forgive or not forgive. Yeah. You're actually in a state of hostility. Unforgiveness is a state of hostility. And hostility, what does that mean? It raises your blood pressure.
Yeah, so I'm just going to ignore it and...
Right, your cortisol levels.
Can't do that. Yeah.
Yes. And what is that? What happens physically to you when you're in a state of hostility?
Oh, well, blood pressure goes up. Yeah, I mean.
I try to keep you as calm as possible. I don't want that heart going a little too fast or skipping beats, which it has a tendency to do. So your immune system goes down. Right. So something that Sarah Montana said is, vengeance is not freedom. It's a prison. It chains our story to our enemy's story for all
that's
time.
So true. Yep.
Wow. Isn't that important? Oh, I just think that's so powerful. Vengeance is not freedom. It's a prison, despite what the movies say.
And she says, like she says, I don't want to hold us captive anymore.
Right. Yeah. So decide not to take vengeance on. And lastly, restore the relationship.
Well, you know, this is the end of The Count of Monte Cristo, right? Which is all about vengeance.
That vengeance really didn't work in the end.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
It is.
Even though you're kind of rooting for
You want him to kill
the
guy.
But in the end, hopefully you learn the same lessons that he did. So step three is to restore the relationship. So if we're using our mountain analogy and you think about climbing a mountain and maybe crossing a snow bridge, it's going to get slushy. You got to hit that. You got to go when the snow is still clean and fresh. Otherwise, things can get really, really mushy and harder to cross. So the morning after is the best time to restore the relationship. And again, we want to give respect to forgiveness in the big sense of the word, taking time. But we're talking about, again, every day.
Right.
Every day forgiveness
but
for
the,
everyday
the longer
things.
These things go on and you ignore them, the harder it's going to be.
Oh, studies show that couples who focus, they argue, and then they focus on who's right and who's wrong and trying to prove who's wrong, that the problem just gets worse and it becomes harder and harder to forgive.
And
so
and you start keeping score, which this...
keeping score, that's another whole podcast.
Where this woman that you had lunch with was...
She'd been keeping score for a long time.
She had a huge ledger. Multiple pages.
That's right. Now, part of restoring the relationship can also be requesting forgiveness. We've only been focused on forgiveness, requesting forgiveness. So in requesting forgiveness, what works and what doesn't work? How many times do we say, I'm really sorry I did that, but I was so sad about this? And that word, but.
Yeah. Or you said, we were talking about how a man might apologize earlier. You know, I'm sorry, I just... was blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, it
I'm
has
sorry, I just,
contingencies
just,
associated with it, or the I but.
Or but.
Right.
Yeah. Or I'm sorry you feel mad at me.
I'm sorry you took it that way.
I'm sorry. That is not an apology. So confession mixed with justification or accusation does not relieve the pressure on the relationship. It's really a poor substitute for an honest, thoughtful, humble apology. No buts about it.
That's it. Keep your butts out of this.
And there's lots of ways to ask for forgiveness. I have a long record.
She's kept a track of every way of asking for forgiveness.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. In my book, I have listed, I don't know, a dozen or so different ways that I have requested forgiveness word for word because I kept those
letters.
You wrote
them in a journal.
No, I didn't write them in journals. I wrote them in letters to you.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would save the letters. Isn't that insane of me? I'm really glad I did, but I kept everything I've ever written to you, I saved. You know, you read it and then you toss it.
Yeah,
I go,
I'm not going to save it.
I better save it.
That's right.
You didn't even know I did, probably.
No.
But here's just one of them. Ready? I can't leave you this morning without expressing my love and sorrow about last night. I awoke in the middle of the night and vaguely remembering the circumstances that left me on the couch. I thought at first they were only a disturbing dream. As I moved into our bed and put my arms around you, I realized I'd actually said and done those things, and I wanted immediately to erase them. I felt like, what was that? Who was that? I am so sorry. Please, please, please forgive. That was just one of the many letters I wrote you that way.
I remember that letter.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Seriously?
Yeah. But I cannot tell you what it was all about.
No. You know? Oh, so we can forget.
We can forget. Oh, we certainly can. It doesn't
over
mean you have
years,
to.
Over the years. Well, I like to say, as Anne Shirley in Green Gables, I've had a lot of practice in making apologies. But remember how you quoted our friend Helen, our friend who was single at the time and single most of her life. She'd been single all of her life until that time. What did she say?
After reading your book, said, I never realized that so much failure went into a successful marriage.
I think we could substitute that F failure with F
forgiveness. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, it is. It's just the journey. We're all on a journey. We're all in that process. And nobody gets there. Nobody creates the big company, the wonderful Google or Amazon or whatever, without multiple failures.
Lots and lots of mistakes.
Yeah,
on
totally.
Both sides. And that really has helped me through the years when I'm feeling all superior. And sometimes I feel like I'm a superior spouse. I'm such a good wife. And then the minute I start thinking about that...
Bam!
Crack!
the lightning bolt happens.
The crevice in my mountain opens, and I am back at the beginning.
I want to share a couple of things that you've got in your book here about ways to ask for forgiveness.
Oh!
That you've got here.
Great. Just
for make a point.
All right.
The short ones here.
Okay.
I feel so foolish that I made such a fuss last week. I still have a long way to grow.
I wrote that?
You wrote that. And, you know, what that is it's acknowledgement. This is my responsibility, but I'm growing. I'm working, you know.
I'm asking, be patient. Give me space.
Give me space. Be patient. Give me time. Hmm. I really feel bad about the pain I've caused recently. I only want your happiness.
Oh.
See, so there's another acknowledgement of relationship and my caring you know, your caring. And so what I like about that is by asking for forgiveness, you add to it a little bit and not just saying, please forgive me, but please forgive me. You know, I'm working on this.
Really think,
I'm really trying to be different. Help me out here.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, I love that.
It kind of connotes this relationship.
A partnership.
Partnership, yeah.
Like, be my partner in my maturation.
Right, exactly.
Ooh, I love that. Here's another one that I like. I feel awful about our conversation this morning. I don't feel I've told you often enough how much I love and appreciate you.
Yeah, another one. Yeah.
So confirming.
Do another one.
Do another one.
I want to hear another one.
We're Singing in the Rain fans.
That's
we
right.
just did an erratum verbatim. You get a bonus point if you recognize that. Anyway, well, there's no question that re-educating ourselves in order to really get out of that bumper car world, it's going to take consistent, concerted effort. That forgiveness is an extreme sport. It really is some kind of spectacular accomplishment, really.
Yeah, it is.
It is. But it's totally possible. And I see it happen every day, every week with the women that I work with personally as their mentor, either through the Wife Savers Education Membership, also through Wife for Life University. I see it happen all the time. In fact, one of those students last week told me that I knew she'd been in this process, but she felt like she'd really come full circle finally, that she had replaced her lifelong feelings of just interminable sadness and victimization with this. She wrote, she now had feelings of, quote, comfort and homecoming and acceptance.
Homecoming.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And she had really taken those first steps that we've talked about to cast off her victimhood and extend and receive forgiveness. And then she wrote this. My job now is to have more faith in the future. Because forgiveness is not, is we release ourselves from the past, right? We're moving.
That's what everybody thinks. Yeah, it's over with, it's gone, but it has so much impact on the future.
Yes, my job now is to have more faith in the future and to leave the past in the past. I need to give myself and my husband a chance.
Oh, I love that.
I feel like I'm going to cry.
It's, you know, myself and my husband, right?
Yes.
It's over. We're looking forward. It's the two of us.
It's a new year. That means it's your chance to create the life and the love you married for. And I want to help you do that. Go to my website, wifesavers.org, and sign up for my free ebook, 5 Lies We Tell Brides and 5 Truths That Save Wives. And be sure to sign up for my newsletter. From there, you're going to get lots and lots of my personal help. 2019, it's yours. Home.